Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and
anything else we feel like.
We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started. Here's an old classic that sounds just as good today as it did when we were kids.
like a bomb in everyone's ass. They don't keep us alive. We're gonna fight for the rights. Build a wall with the bodies of the dead. And you saved. Make the world scared. Come on, show me the sign of victory.
It's Mark Striegel. Welcome to another edition of Talking Metal. I am here with Emily. How are you, Emily?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Doing all right under the circumstances. We are in the middle of, well, hopefully past the middle, fingers crossed, of this COVID-19 lockdown situation. The year is 2020, and wow, life-changing event for us all, but we're not even going to talk about that. We are going to just play some great music today with Emily's help. And I want to say that first song we heard, some classic Accept right there, Balls to the Wall.
Nice.
Doesn't get much better than that.
It doesn't.
I mean, I know people are like, why don't you play some deeper cut than that? But sometimes I just love the big hits like that. You can't
There's
go wrong
no
with that.
There's no shame in listening to those tracks.
I mean, Wolf Hoffman, on the very next episode of Talking Metal, I'm going to talk to Accept's brand new guitar player, and we're going to talk about Wolf Hoffman and his tone. A guy, believe it or not, I've never had the pleasure of interviewing. We've interviewed people from Accept, but never Wolf. Mm-hmm. So that's one of my goals. Wolf Hoffman, who else was I thinking of today that we've never interviewed? Tracy Guns.
Let's get Tracy.
Yeah.
He's a new father. Did you know that?
I did read that, actually. And I have interviewed Kelly Nichols of the classic LA Guns lineup and Steve Riley also of that classic LA Guns lineup. And there's obviously two LA Guns going on right now. And I know Blabbermouth picked up both of those interviews and made a big, you know, scandalous headline out of them. And I just want to say that I after seeing LA Guns
at
M3
and
last
Iridium,
year,
right?
Yeah, the Steve Riley version of LA Guns, I thought they were great.
Oh.
And I also thought at the Iridium, Tracy Guns and Phil Lewis, their version of the band was also great.
Absolutely.
So I'm not like in one court or the other. I think there's two LA Guns. Great. So be it.
I was interviewing someone at M3. I missed their set.
Yeah, they
entirely.
Were great. They were great.
I stood
on the side of the stage to watch them, and they were really good, and they got a great crowd response.
Yeah. Speaking of Wolf from Accept, didn't his girlfriend write those lyrics? Balls to
yes,
the Wall. Have you ever heard the
I believe,
behind that?
Yeah, I believe it was his girlfriend who may have worked at a label or something. I can't remember, but yes. Yeah.
Because it was like all this talk about it being like kind of, is this like homoerotic or whatever? And they were
well,
actually his girlfriend wrote the lyrics.
You know, Udo definitely, as far as I know, seems to be a very heterosexual human being. But for many years, there were rumors about him. And those rumors came from two places, in my opinion. They came from some of the Accept lyrics, London Leather Boys and, you know, Balls to the Wall and stuff like that. And they also came from the fact that there were Rob Halford. I know it was a big revelation to a lot of people when he came out as gay in the 90s, but most of us metalheads knew Rob Halford was gay forever. And when I was in high school in the 80s, people thought, well, everyone knew Halford was gay. It was kind of just everyone knew that. But I think because of the haircuts, you know, they were the only guys with like crew cuts.
These crew cuts.
Yeah.
So they associated him.
Yeah.
But, you know, his English wasn't great, which is why Wolf's girlfriend wrote the lyrics, right?
Right. Correct.
Because he didn't, you know, that's not his. It's funny. The one time I interviewed him and I sat with Sven.
I believe it was Wolf's son. Girlfriend. I'm not 100% sure on that, but it sounds right.
Udo gave me full on German lessons.
Did he?
Yeah. I was asking about how the use of Sie haben dich, and you know, he was like so excited to teach me a little German, and his son Sven, of course.
Yeah. And Peter Baltz, that's the way I pronounce his name, working with Udo, I think in a songwriting capacity on a new record that is going to come out, a new UDO record. So Peter out of Accept at this point. But anyways, yeah, next episode of this podcast will be the new guitar player of Accept. So stay tuned for that. And if you want to get a sneak peek, look at it, because we actually did it also as a video chat. You can go to my YouTube page right now. It's up there already, youtube.com/talkingmetal. And on that note, we have a bunch of requests from all our good people. People sending in PayPal donations with requests. Jerry from Long Island with a request. Joe Ryan, I think I have a request from him. I'm going to get to all that, I promise, soon in a future episode. But right now, we want to welcome to Patreon a new talking metalhead. What's his name? Johan, right?
Johan Ederstrom. Ederstrom. Sorry.
There you go. I like it. It sounds good.
Strom.
And he wants to hear a song.
He wants to hear the song Firefall by 220 Volts.
Here we go.
Prophecy be real, predicted so.
120 Volt going out to Johan. Thank you for joining us on Patreon, Johan. I hope you enjoy that bonus podcast every Friday that only the people on Patreon get to hear. And again, Patreon, you can get, if you join me there, guys, and you do over $5 a month, I will send you out a Talking Metal t-shirt anywhere in the world. If for as little as $2 a month, you get a bonus podcast every Friday, again, that only people on Patreon get to hear. And I do that with Victor Ruiz of Mars Attacks. John Astronomy, the co-founder of Talking Metal, will be back with me on the very next episode of Talking Metal. But in the meantime, I want to get to some metal news, and I want Emily to play some music for us. Emily, you and I laid in bed the other night and watched the new, this isn't even metal news. This is just music news. We watched the new documentary, The Beastie Boys Story, produced by Spike Jonze, and a couple metal crossover connections. A great watch. A great watch, by the way. But they shot this in King's Theater, where we saw Ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's one. Robin Crosby of Rat fame is in it. They show a picture of him at one point on stage, a big blown up picture.
Yeah.
And they don't mention that it's Robin Crosby from Rat, but they do use his image in the documentary. And they talk about how Rick Rubin was into like heavy metal and wrestling. And at first they were like, we don't like those things. But then Rick was so infectious, I guess, with his love of those things that they actually started to like those things. So I thought that was pretty cool.
They said he answered the door of his NYU dorm room with leather zip-up gloves or something his long hair. So they were like, who is this person?
If you like the Beastie Boys, it's an awesome watch on Apple TV. Yeah. And people on Facebook were saying, where can I watch it if I don't get Apple TV? And at this point, you don't watch it anywhere. It's an Apple TV exclusive. I think Apple paid Spike Jonze a shitload of money for it. So I suspect it will be exclusive there for a while. Post Malone, who claims he likes hardcore, claims he likes heavy metal.
Claims? He totally does.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. And loves loud rock. You know, his producer, Andrew Watt, has produced the new Ozzy Osbourne record and played guitar on a lot of it, too.
And he's on the track with Ozzy.
Yeah, and Post Malone has two tracks with Ozzy Osbourne. Whatever that one song, It's a Riot or something. Or It's a Raid. It's a Raid. And then What Do You Want From Me?
Yeah, Take What You Want.
Oh, Take What You Want From Me is the one on Post Malone's record. It's a Raid, I believe it's called, is on the Ozzy record. Ordinary Man. So anyways, I haven't really fallen in love with this guy, Post Malone. He seems all right, but whatever. It's not really my type of thing. But he did this thing the other night where he jammed Nirvana songs, and he did a bunch of songs, including some deep cuts. And I kind of clicked on it thinking, oh, let me go listen to this train wreck. And it was from
Travis Barker was playing drums.
Yeah, was playing drums from Blink 182. It was freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had it down.
Well, you know me. I've been playing Post Malone for you for 2 years.
Yeah, and
now.
It sucks. But when he did Nirvana, he did Nirvana perfectly. I mean, close to perfect. It was great.
He's the real deal. He is a real rock fan. He was at a Slayer show. He was at one of the last Slayer shows.
Those songs, and he's got that horrible like pitch shift synth thing on his voice. It sounds awful.
Well, he has that crazy vibrato thing going. It sounds like
I want to hear him do like a grunge record, because him playing Nirvana songs was great.
Well, you know what? He's working on a new album now, and I bet you $10 it's going to be rock. Let's make a deal right now.
Like straight out rock.
I bet you $200. What do you bet? Yeah. You think it's going to be hip hop or
no? I think
rock?
He's got to make money. I think
but his audience isn't a rock audience. Everyone in rock hates him.
Right. Right, so that's what I mean. Doing a rock record. Who's going to buy a rock record by Post Malone?
I think that's what he's doing right now.
Well, if he does it, all the more props to him, because that would mean he's doing it just for the love of it, and that's awesome. So anyways, yesterday was April 25th. We're recording this on the 26th. You guys will hear it a few days later, obviously. But big 40th anniversary for Heaven and Hell, and this is going to lead us into Emily's tunes that she has picked out for us. Heaven and Hell, Emily, Wow, epic record, right?
Really important record to me. Some people would say it's sacrilege, but it's one of my favorite Sabbath records.
Right. And it was an interesting time in Sabbath history. It was a record that was primarily written, from what I've read, by Dio and Iommi. You know, Geezer was no longer writing lyrics for the band at this point. And they put this record out, and it was a big departure. And Sabbath was not popular. I mean, they had hit a low at that point. And Ozzy was off, also hitting a low. And you know, they really had a very, their first stint with Dio really wasn't very long. Like, what was it, like 2.5 years? And two great records, Heaven and Hell, which again, 40 years already, and Mob Rules. But I always felt like they never caught on like Ozzy did. Like those two Randy Rhoads, Ozzy Osbourne records, they blew the fuck up. But like, and I was a kid at this point, and I was listening to FM radio in the Midwest. So I remember, you never heard Heaven and Hell on the radio. Right. That didn't get radio play. Ozzy Osbourne in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where I lived at that point. Like, okay, Crazy Train, I Don't Know. Over the Mountain, Flying High, You Can't Kill Rock and Roll, Diary of a Madman, all six or seven of those songs on the radio, nonstop.
You can't compare the radio FM play radio at all. No, there's no comparison.
Dio, I didn't know about Heaven and Hell, that record, until years later. Yeah. Like, because I got into Sabbath because I was into Ozzy solo. Then I went back. I got Sabotage, was the first Sabbath record I got. After Bark the Moon came out, I was like, you know, I got to go check out some of this guy's older stuff. And then I eventually kind of worked my way up. And then Dio was out, and I was like, oh my God.
Were you in a Rainbow?
No. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
I mean, I was too young.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was too young. No, yeah, I was just... And in the 80s, okay, so Dio came out, and I loved Last in Line and Holy Diver. Loved those records. And then I went back, Mob Rules. Oh my God. And then went back to Heaven and Hell. So I went backwards to get Heaven and Hell. And then people were like, well, he was in another band, Rainbow. I was like, since you've been gone, Rainbow, that Rainbow? They were like, yeah, Dio was in there before Jolynn Turner and Graham Bonnet. And I went back and I listened to Rainbow, and I did not like it.
Yeah.
Did not like it. I was like, what the hell is this Bell Bottoms freaking 70s shit? I seriously. And to this day, like, I like it. Like, I eventually remember seeing Dio on Rock Palace, or maybe it was on Live at the Spectrum, and he did Man on the Silver Mountain. And I went back and I got that record, and it was all right, but I always liked the Dio.
I like Stargazer.
Yeah. I never got into Rainbow until until it was like 1999 or something, decades later.
My sister always says, you weren't into Rainbow when you were really, you were into Ozzy and Sabbath and stuff, but not like the Dio stuff as much. The Dio solo stuff I was, but not.
I mean,
70s Rainbow
stuff in the 80s was not cool. I mean, you got to remember, like, Ozzy was trying to get away from that. That's why he got Randy Rhoads in the band, And Kiss wasn't cool. That's why they took off their makeup. They didn't want to be associated with the 70s. But then in the late 80s, early 90s, the 70s became cool again, So kind of a cycle. But enough blabbing from me. Emily, what are we going to hear? Rock us right now. Play us some music.
Well, I had the honor of singing in a Black Sabbath tribute, and they did two sets, and one set was all Dio, and one set was Ozzy, which I thought it was pretty rad that they give Dio an entire set at Arlene's Grocery in New York City. And the song I chose to do was Lady Evil, so let's play a little Lady Evil right now.
Let's check it out.
Right from a hand with a cry to shout.
Evil by Bill Ward, Tony Iommi, Geezer Butler, and Ronnie James Dio. Rest in peace. Great stuff. And what an awesome record. You know, 20 years ago, if you would have asked me which record do I like better, let's say 25, 30 years ago, I would have probably said Mob Rules.
Yeah.
Now, I almost think I like Heaven and Hell better. You know,
is it just because you listened to, you like OD'd on?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I think Heaven and Hell's maybe a slightly better record. They're both great. But Mob Rules had moved just a little bit more into the 80s metal sound.
Right.
Whereas I felt like Heaven and Hell had a foot in the 70s still, and it had a foot forward in the 80s. Because there's still, you know, kind of some 70s sounds on that record. But to me, Mob Rules was a massive step forward into the 80s sound, the sound that was cool at that time.
Lady Evil swings. It's like funky a little bit, right?
Yeah, see, like back when I was a kid, I probably, that would have turned me off a little bit. Now I love it.
It's,
you know,
got a groove.
But when
right?
I was 14, yeah, mm-hmm. I was like, you know, like to me, Country Girl off of Mob Rules also had a swing to it. But it was something more sinister and evil and less 70s about it. Yeah. So great stuff nonetheless. I love Heaven and Hell. I love Mob Rules. Two great, great records. And what else do you got for us, Emily?
Oh, I didn't know I was going right into one. You know what I would love to hear? That one concert that we missed that was canceled kind of the day of, it was like on the cusp of when they were starting to shut things down. We were supposed to see Overkill at the Walmart.
Okay. I thought you were going to say somebody else, but yeah,
I don't remember the date of that
show. They did
show.
Cancel that show. It was like they only canceled it like the day of or something, the day before. And I think it was in Montclair, New Jersey. And Montclair, the town of Montclair, I think banned.
They had a couple cases.
Yeah, they
and
banned
everything.
Yeah, because that was Montclair, the town where Overkill was supposed to play, was one of the hot spots of New Jersey early
in the beginning.
On. Yeah, we're talking about the COVID-19 coronavirus thing.
Yeah. So we were supposed to go see that show, and how much was I looking forward to that? How much do we love Bobby Blitz and that whole Overkill family? But you know what song I want to hear? I work out to this song, Mean Green Killing Machine. I put this on my headphones on the treadmill.
Good choice.
A lot of
you
the
didn't
time.
Tell me you were going to play.
You know, well,
I love it.
But one of the story, my sister and I used to play tennis, doubles tennis, and they called us in the newspaper in Indiana, this little tiny town. They called us the Mean Green Machine.
The Mean Green Machine.
Because my maiden name is Emily Green, of course. So we were the Greens, the Green Machine.
Let's do some Overkill right now, as handpicked by Emily.
Come on, come on, and sing with my name. It's me, Green Kill. that was a little overkill for you.
Cool. And we got one more, Emily, to take us out.
Yeah, so might as well talk about another show that we've missed because of the cancellations. I was really looking forward to a band we had the honor of seeing up at Heavy Montreal, Fu Manchu.
Right.
I mean, I'm such a huge fan of Caius, Queens of the Stone Age, like kind of the sludge kind of, you know, stoner rock vibe. And I've always loved Fu Manchu. So I remember we went up at Heavy Montreal. We had the honor of seeing them rock out
and interviewing them. We spoke with the drummer.
Yes.
And I don't know. We posted the audio for that on the podcast here, but I actually have a video of that somewhere, which I don't think
The video.
I don't think I ever got around to posting that. I don't know.
Their set was so much fun. I mean, I danced my butt off. That was the funnest set. But anyway, let's listen to...
And got
to
a great crowd response,
yes,
too.
Yes, yes. So let's listen to a little Mongoose.
Awesome.
You want to do the live? You want to do the Mongoose? They've got it live, too.
Yeah, we'll do the studio, I think. But, yeah.
I love this track.
We'll be right back.
picked by Emily here on Talking Metal. Emily, that's going to do it for today's show. Do you have any? I think you just had those three, right? Or was there another one you wanted?
I've always got songs to play, but I'll save them for next time.
Okay, cool. Let's hit one more. Maybe I'll pick. I'm trying to think of something that I could play for everyone. I don't know. I'm wearing my Saxon t-shirt today. And we saw Saxon the last time. I don't know. We saw him in 2017. And then I guess we saw him after that opening for Priest. I think it was after that. I don't know. I can't. Yeah, because that would have been 2018 maybe. But anyways, yeah. Let's do some Saxon. I'm always feeling Saxon. Let's go way back. This is Dallas 1 p.m. Saxon here on Talking Metal to take us out. Guys, support us any way you can, especially with those Amazon links. I know everyone's buying from Amazon right now. Everybody wants the deliveries. Go to Talking Metal. Just click through our Amazon links before you do your shopping, and we get a cut back on that. There's no extra cost to you. Of course, we also accept PayPal donations, and we'd love to have you join us on Patreon. Saxon, Dallas, 1 p.m.
around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.